Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up as he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had just happened to him. You know, this is one of my favorite stories in the Scripture, because it shows several different things. It shows the love of God. It shows the power of God. And it shows that God is able to overcome the obstacles that we face in life. You know, when Peter and John walked up to this gate at the temple and the beggar was sitting there, and Peter said, "Look at us," The beggar expected that to get something from him, as he does when he sits there. People give him alms and money as he sits there throughout the day. And no doubt, when he looked up at Peter and John, he was expecting to get something from them. But he was not expecting what he got. You know, that's the way it is many times with us in religion today. Sometimes we come to the church, sometimes we come to Christ, expecting to receive something, when Christ is really giving us something else. Many times we expect the wrong thing. We know what we want, but not always what we need. What I want to do is talk about this story and expectations that we have and the expectations that this man had. You know, many people come to Christ expecting the wrong thing. This man was laying here at the gate, and he was merely expecting money, because that's what people gave him as they entered into the temple. And you know, the church has a duty. We have a duty as a part of God's family to have money set aside to take care of needs as they arise. In fact, we find that in Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45, it says that the church, all who believed, were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and their belongings, and they were distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They were taking care of situations that arise through physical means of money. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul instructs the church there in Corinth to put something aside and store it upon the first day of the week. Now, Paul was talking about a specific task that he was in the process of handling. He was going from congregation to congregation, receiving funds from the congregation to take to help Christians elsewhere. He was carrying out a specific task. But when he directed this order to the church at Corinth, it was an example for us today that we need to set money aside so that when problems arise, situations arise, or if there is something in the Lord's work that we need to carry out, We will be ready to carry it out. Now, this man looked up at Peter and John, and they expected to receive money for his physical needs because he could not take care of himself. But he received so much more. He was expecting one thing, and he received something else. Many people come to Christ expecting to have their family problems straightened out. You know, I have found out through many years of church work that people will run to the church when they get in trouble. You have marital problems, you run to the church. You have physical problems, you run to the church. You have business problems, you run to the church. You think that if you can get close to God and close to the church and close to righteousness, that problems just seem to go away. Well, that's not necessarily true, is it? Now, can the church help you with your problems? Yes, it can. Can God help you with your problems? Most certainly. But we come to the family of God thinking that just being near God, all problems will simply go away. Now, the fact is, God's Word has an answer for every problem that exists in the world today, barring none. God's Word can solve any issue that you have in life. In fact, Paul tells us 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, he's talking about the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Some versions say it is God-breathed, and I love that phrase. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And when it comes to the family, God has a very efficient order for the family. It's found in Ephesians chapter 5 and in Ephesians chapter 6. Husbands are the head of the wives, just as Christ is the head of the church. Wives are to submit themselves to their own husbands. Husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. And when we put this pattern into practice, believe it or not, it works. If people will follow God's pattern for the home, I'm not saying the home will never have a problem, but I'm saying it will never have a problem that it cannot solve. And one of the biggest problems today is families do not try to solve their problems. Something goes wrong, let's split, let's separate, let's go our own separate ways. Let's not even try to fix this. I've had people come into my office, husbands and wives, one of them wanting it to work and one of them don't want it to work. And I tell them at the very beginning, if both of you don't want this to work, it's not going to work. There is nothing that I can do if both of you don't want this to work. You have to do things God's way. Here's something else. I have never had to counsel marriage problems, or I've never even heard of counseling being needed, when this pattern is used correctly. By the same token, I have never counseled marriage couples where this pattern was being used correctly. Because God's way works. Some people come to Christ expecting to make friends and to improve social life. Now, it's true, the church can open doors to new friendships and new relationships. Christians can open doors to each other for relationships and friendships. I am married to this young lady sitting here at this front row here because Christian friends of mine and Christian friends of hers got us together. You may have a similar story in your life. The church can open those kind of doors. You know, Paul tells us that we need to love one another with brotherly love, Romans 12, verse 10. We do know that the people on the day of Pentecost responded to Peter in Acts chapter 2, and they were together and had all things in common. And in verse 47, it says that they had favor with all the people. You know, the church will give you that. The church will give you that kind of relationship. I remember my daddy used to tell back in the 30s and 40s, which was his growing up time, people got so excited about church gatherings, especially when they had what they called dinners on the ground or a picnic or an old tent meeting. These events drew people from all over the community. It wasn't just a religious event. It was a social event as well. And everybody looked forward to it. You know, it seems kind of sad to think that people used to look forward to a church event, to a church gathering. And now people dread the thought of having to go to church. You know, when this man looked up at Peter and John, yeah, he expected to receive something. But he didn't get what he was expecting. What did he get? And what can we get today from Jesus? We may come to the church and we may come to the Lord expecting one thing. He has something far, far better in mind for us. Let me tell you what he gave this man and what he will give to you and me today. He gave this man peace of mind. Now put yourself in the shoes of this lame beggar. Put yourself in those shoes. You have to go and sit by the gate of the temple every day. Or you have to walk the streets of Albany, Georgia every day asking people for money. Food, even to put a meal in your belly. And we have people like that in Albany. You can't go downtown almost any day of the week without someone coming up to you asking you for money. It happens all the time. And it's hard to determine if these people are legitimate or if they're just trying to take money from you. God gave this man a peace of mind. He doesn't have to do this anymore. But Paul tells us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what Peter gave to that man that day. And that's what God can give you today. Because if you are His child, He can give you that kind of peace. I guess you might say that instead of receiving better living conditions, he received a better life. He went to that gate every day looking for something better. He was looking for money so maybe he could buy new clothes, better food to eat. He didn't have to scrape anymore. That's what he was looking for. But instead, he was handed a better life. Because now he can take care of himself. What's better, to be able to eat a fish meal or to be able to catch fish and do it yourself? Sure, catch fish. Then you can eat every day of the week. Again, the Apostle Peter. We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And do you know Peter handed that man newness of life that day? Because he didn't really have a life before coming to that temple and sitting day after day after day. He received fellowship with his Father and the forgiveness of his sin. And that's something that you and I today can have. And I just wonder, whenever we come to this facility and we come together as God's family, do we think about the forgiveness of sin that God has really already given us through our obedience to the gospel of Christ? Do we think about that blood that cleanses us daily if we stay in the light? As John said, 1 John 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. Do we think about that as we walk our daily lives? It's a gift from God. And we may expect God to give us things, and this is what He's given us. And we should be very thankful for that. He received eternal life. Would you listen to the words of John in 1 John chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He made to us. Not silver and gold. Not power. Not feelings. Not a credit card that will let us go out and spend all kinds of money that we probably don't have anyway. But a change in relationship, a change in life. This man jumped up to his feet. He began to leap and run and just praise God for what God had given him. And he wasn't expecting to get that. And you know, we are sitting here tonight with all of these things as a New Testament Christian. And I've never seen anyone get that excited about it. And we should. What we have received from God is unbelievable. What Peter and John gave to this man was unbelievable. And we have all of that now as a child of God. We are alive in God, and we are free from sin. You know, this man did not expect any of this. He did not expect to be able to walk home at the end of the day. He did not expect to be able to use himself at the end of the day. But this is what you get when you come in contact with Jesus Christ. So tonight I ask you, what do you expect from Jesus? What do you expect Him to give to you? He has a lot to give. Not the things that will give you status in life. Not the things that will give you position in life. Not material things that will make you wealthy or that will make you important. But things that are far, far greater than this. You know, Paul once said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." You know, we sit here in this room, every one of us, and we are truly blessed. And we're all different. We all have different things. We all have different amounts of things. But we are all truly blessed. But friends, we have nothing compared to what God gives us. And we have nothing that compares to what God gave that man on that day to be happy. So today, if you're not a Christian, you need to give your life to Him. And He will lift you up. He will raise you back to your feet. He will take you out of sin. And He will put you into His family. And Christian, if you've gone back, you can still return by simply confessing fault. Church will pray with you and for you. And the God has promised He will forgive. We can expect that from God because we know that God will do it. This man received so much that he wasn't expecting to get. And I want to tell you tonight, my friends, you can receive so much if you will let Jesus take control of your life. Let Him do it. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.